Good morning, and Stuart's thrilled, but I'm more thrilled to be here with you today. So Darren's out having a great time on vacation. His 1 year anniversary, so make sure you congratulate him when he gets back. Just a couple of questions to start today. How many of you would like to memorize more scripture? And raise your hand, by the way, again, if you have a hard time memorizing scripture. Today I will discuss some techniques that worked for me that I want to share with you, and I hope it's meaningful for you, and I hope that some of you will actually apply this in your lives. But before we begin, let's start with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we love your word. Lord, we know that your word is true. We know that you, when you stretched out your arms on the cross and died for us, that before that time you promised us that you would send the Holy Spirit and he would be the Spirit of truth. And as we read your word, Father, we just pray that in some way you'll make it easy for us to be able to memorize scripture so that no matter where we are or what we're doing, we can recall your word and get strength and truth from that. No, Lord, as I speak today, I just pray that your spirit will speak for me, oh Lord, and that our hearts will be open to hear your word and to hear your truth. And it's in your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the title of today's message is Praying Using Scripture. And what do I mean by praying using scripture? Well, the first thing I mean is I'm using Bible verses to actually pray. I'm praying for my wife, or for my family, or for my church, maybe my grandparents or parents, nieces and nephews, maybe something that's going on at work. And I want to find some scripture that is meaningful to help me in that situation. So that's what I mean by praying using scripture. And how do I do it? Well, I find a Bible verse that fits my desire for that particular thing I want to pray for. For instance, I might find something that my wife and I could be struggling with, that I can find a piece of scripture that will help us both in that. And then through a period of time, I can use that scripture to pray. And the side benefit of that is then I get to memorize that scripture. For me, to memorize scripture, I just need to repeat it over and over and over again. In fact, it also helps me to write it down by hand. And so I have that card when I'm praying in the morning, because I like to do my prayer in the morning, and I can read that prayer. Pretty soon, I don't need that card anymore. And I have some scripture memorized. I do pray that Bible verse every day for the people or the person that that fits with. And then I want to ask the question, well, why should I do this? Why should I take scripture and memorize it? Well, for me, it helps me consistently pray for those that I love and those that I care for. And when once I memorize that scripture, I can meaningfully pray at any time. If I'm stopped at a stoplight and I have 30 seconds, I can pray that scripture. If I'm out running because I like to run, I can pray through all my scripture, and it makes the run go by much faster, but it also draws me closer to my family and my friends. So I want to share some examples with you of what I use and why this scripture is meaningful to me. And hopefully then, you will be encouraged to do that for yourself. So the first example I want to use is how I pray for my wife on a daily basis. I'm going to use a passage from Philippians chapter 1 in verses 9 through 11. This is a prayer that Paul was praying for the Philippian people. But to me, it meant so much to me if I could pray this for my wife. But the scripture says, And this is my prayer. This is Paul saying this is his prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. This again was Paul talking to the Philippians, but what a meaningful prayer Paul was praying for them. When I pray this scripture, I substitute Lottie's name or a pronoun where it makes sense. And so I actually personalize this prayer. For instance, I would pray, this is my prayer for Lottie, that her love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that she may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So I personalize that prayer and pray it for her. You know, God tells us in Ephesians 5:25 that husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church. Christ gave himself up for the church to make the church holy and to present her, the church, to himself without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So we, as husbands, are called to do the same. I would say, though, that wrinkle comment, that's pretty hard for me not to cause wrinkles on Lottie's face in our marriage. But still, that's what Christ is calling us to do, is to present our wives to God without wrinkle. That's a big challenge, I think. So you get the picture of my prayer. But now I want to talk about what that verse means to me. So it begins with, and in your outline you can fill in the blanks, love abounds in knowledge and insight. So my prayer for Lottie is that her love will come from the knowledge and insight of knowing Jesus Christ and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What a great marriage that makes when her love comes from God. You know, all of this, part of this prayer in some ways is a little selfish, because I know that as she loves better, loves more, that I'm a recipient of that love. But not just for me, but for our children and for our grandchildren also. And also for Fellowship of the Rockies, and also for our neighborhood. That love that she gets from the knowledge and insight of knowing God's word is so extremely important. The second point is to discern what is best. We all want that in our lives. We need to know what is best. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes what is best comes right to us. Other times we have maybe one or two good choices to choose from, and all we need to do is choose the right one. Sometimes it's not that straightforward. Sometimes it's really difficult to know what is best, because we want to know what God thinks is best, not just the way we feel or what we want. And so as my wife, I want Lottie to be able to speak that into my life. When she knows something is best, even though I may not know, I want her to have the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to speak that to me. And then pure and blameless. You know, this is something we all strive for when we're believers of Jesus Christ. To be pure, that our heart is pure, that we have pure motives. You know, it's a word we can spend a lot of time on if we just talked about pure or purity. In today's world, that word is really hard. Society is filled with many, many things that is not pure. And certainly blameless. You know, in God's eyes. Not blameless in my eyes, my judgment of her, although I often judge her. That's not what's important. It's how she's seen in God's eyes. And as Paul had asked us that we should, that Christ, that we, the church, should be blameless before him, we want as husbands to be able to not cause things in our wives that would be cause them to be impure or to be blamed. We are a big part of that as husbands. We need to help our wives. And how about filled with the fruit of righteousness? You know, kind of an easy definition of righteousness is to remember that is a right relationship with God, but it has a second part. It also means a right relationship with man or mankind. So I pray that Lottie will be filled with the fruit of righteousness. I mean, she's filled with that right relationship with God. She's filled with that right relationship with me and with our children, with her friends, with our neighbors, that she can speak truth to them. And by the way, all of this for her, for my prayer, is to bring God glory and praise. So that last point is glory and praise of God, so that she can live a life that honors God. So again, if we went back to that prayer coming from Philippians 1, 9 through 11, that is my prayer for my wife. The second point I want to do is, how do I pray for my family? You know, just below the importance of my wife in my life is my family, my children, my grandchildren, my brothers and my sisters. And this scripture I read many, many years ago in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, and it meant so much to me. Like, I want this for my kids. If I could get my kids to follow this scripture, their lives are going to be so, so much more blessed. In Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. I do pray this verse every day for my children and my grandchildren. I cannot think of anything I desire more for them than that all of them will have a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing that is. Because you know, no matter what they do, if that is true, if they are walking with Jesus, that God's going to make it work out right. He's going to make it bring glory to him for his kingdom. But my specific reasons for this prayer are that they, A, follow God's example. You know, we as fathers have to set examples for our children, but we are not perfect. There are times, in fact, when we look in the mirror at that night, we might say to ourselves, I hope they don't follow that example today. But there is never a time that they could not follow God's example. So that is my prayer for them. Of course, for them to know God's example, they have to study God's word. So there is an ulterior motive to convincing them to follow God's example. The second point is that they be dearly loved children. You know, God calls us all his children. And what a great thing that is. And we know that we're all loved by him. And for my children, it's important that they know God loves them. Many times in this world, maybe they don't know. Maybe they don't feel loved. So I pray for them that they feel that passion of Jesus Christ, who loves them so very, very much. And although I love my children dearly, I don't always show that. I don't always desire what's best for them, because sometimes selfish desires gets in the way of the desires that God would have for them. And the third part of that is for them to walk in the way of love. You know, this world needs love. You know, not the kind of love that a lot of the music talks about, but that the world needs the love of Jesus Christ. So this verse to me is to get my children to walk in God's way of love. You know, we always use this word love unconditional, but I don't know about any of you, that's not something I can do. I mean, I might say it, oh, I love you unconditionally, until you make me mad, then there's a condition that goes with that love, right? Loving unconditionally is very hard, but it's what Jesus does. He loves unconditionally. And I hope my children can walk to the best of their abilities in that way. And then how are they to do that? They're to love using Christ's example. Again, that forces them back to God's word, because if they said, Dad, what does that mean to walk as Jesus walked? I would say, well, go pick up your Bible and read one of the Gospels. It'll tell you. You know, Jesus brought this new thing about loving your enemies. Really, Jesus? That's hard. Love those who persecute you. Right, Jesus? That's what you want us to do? But I want my children and my grandchildren to love that way. When they have a friend at school that's not treating them very nice, I still want them to give them a hug and say, I love you. I care about you. That is the desire for my children, and the scripture is so very important as I pray it on a daily basis. The third point after my children is praying for my church. We are all members of Fellowship of the Rockies here at our Fountain campus and on our 8th Street campus. And again, Paul used the great prayer in Ephesians as he prayed this for them. It's from Ephesians chapter 1, 17 through 19. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope of which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. I added this prayer about a month ago. As I was thinking about our church, I just started on staff at Fellowship of the Rockies on the 1st of April. I've been a member for 15 years and have taught lots of Bible studies. In fact, I remember one particular Bible study where Dick Fisher was in my class and Mary. And I was always nervous in the morning that Dick was going to ask me a question I couldn't answer. He's a very wise man, and I learned so much from him, and I'm so very happy to see him here today, because I owe him a lot, because he did challenge me in class to study Scripture more, and I knew he was going to be in there, so it caused me to study more, and it really drew me closer to God. And really, in all this prayer that we're doing for our family, our wives, our church, really that's what it does. It draws me, it will draw you closer to God. My desire is that everyone at Fellowship of the Rockies will be drawn closer to God. And as being part of leading adult education or doing outreach or missions work, you know, really, that's the effect of all those things. They draw us closer to God. And that's what I want for our church. We will be an awesome church when the words of this prayer, written by Paul, become a reality at Fellowship of the Rockies. Specifically, let me talk about what this verse means as I pray it for all of you, for all of our church, and all that will come to this church. First, it starts out with the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know him better. You know, we don't get to know God better just because we want to know God better. We need to put some work into this. But not only our work, we need the work of the Holy Spirit. And so that spirit of wisdom and revelation needs to work in our lives. And how does that happen? How does the Spirit work? You know, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, you know, the Spirit is always in you. Always. But there are times in our lives when we get so busy that we actually squelch him. We won't hear him. But that Spirit is still there. He is still there always. You know, we don't want to do things that grieve the Holy Spirit, but yet often we do. But that doesn't mean that he won't forgive us and that he won't speak into our lives if we will just listen. You know, over the last 5-6 weeks, in fact, continuing for a couple more weeks when Darren gets back, we're working through the book of Proverbs. And I'm hoping you're finding some wisdom in Proverbs that will help you to know Jesus, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit better. And then in knowing that Spirit, he will reveal things to you. The second part of that verse, which is so important to me, is that the eyes of your heart be enlightened. You know, it's kind of an interesting phrase, eyes of your heart. Sometimes we don't think our heart has eyes. But you know, Jesus, when he spoke, often talked about the importance of the heart. The heart is what makes you be the person you are. In fact, they said about money, you know, that if you want to know where your treasure is, your heart will be there too. So if you want to know where your heart is, follow your treasure. And that'll show you, that'll give your eyes of your heart. But the eyes of your heart enlightened bring three things in this verse. The first thing that it brings is hope. To know the hope which he has called you to. So that hope in Jesus Christ. You know, that is one thing about Christians that's so important that we have that the rest of the world does not have. And that is we have hope. We have hope not just for this life, but for life eternal. And that should drive us. You know, the writers of a lot of the letters in the New Testament talked about hope a lot. That our hope wasn't here on earth. So the struggles that we go through, although those are disappointing and sometimes sad, that's not where we get our hope. Our hope is found in Jesus Christ. And I pray that hope will be known in our church, that everyone that attends, that everyone that spends time seeking God will know that he will reveal himself to him and you will have hope. And then there's some riches that are talked about in this verse. In fact, it says the riches of his glorious inheritance of his holy people. So these riches that he's talking about, this glorious inheritance that he's talking about for his holy people, his set apart people, is that we get that glorious inheritance in heaven. You know, sometimes we may look too heavenward, but these riches can be found here on earth too. It's not just about, hey, I'm living for heaven. I'm also living for here on earth. And these riches that Paul is talking about, the Ephesians having, that he wants them to have, is to feel that here while they're here on earth, to know that if they have hope, if they will love one another, if they will care for each other, they will have these glorious riches. And the last point of that verse is great power. In fact, Paul calls it his incomparably great power. And this great power, this word that he's using, great, emphasizes it in a way it's really not even fitting to say that word in English, because it's such a great, magnificent power that you will have this, that comes to anyone who believes, that you will have power. And as I was thinking of an example of this, kind of a little silly example in a way, but I like to exercise, and you know, one way to exercise is to go walking. And walking is a good exercise. And you get power in exercise. But last week on Tuesday, you know, some of my children who are much younger than me decided we needed some great power. So they decided we should climb the incline in Manitou Springs. You know, and you get halfway up there and you're needing some great power as you climb. But that is kind of the difference that we're talking about. Hey, you can have power in this world, but if you want great power, you will call on the presence of the Holy Spirit that will teach you how to receive this great power that comes. You know, and as I was thinking about this message today and thinking about your church here, you know, there's decisions that are going on that are really important. You know, what are you going to do about a facility? You know, and we as the staff at Fellowship of the Rockies are praying for you guys all the time here. And some of these verses should be very meaningful to you, that you're seeking God's wisdom and his revelation. How do you know what's best when it comes from how do we grow this facility? It's hard. Those are hard decisions. And it really was one of the reasons I wanted to find a prayer to start to pray for Fellowship of the Rockies, is so that when we make these decisions, when you make this decision, that I can have confidence, our church has confidence, and you have confidence that it's coming from the power of the Holy Spirit revealing to you what should be done. You know, and the other thing that this message just, you know, God has just seems a way to work things out. You know, many weeks ago, Stuart was asking me when Darren was gone if I would give a message, and I said, sure, I'll come up with something. But I didn't know it was going to tie into what Darren talked about, home improvement, last week. And I think all of these scriptures, all of these things, if you'll just take time and memorize some scripture, pray scripture for your family, you will have home improvement, and it ties together perfectly. You know, and there may be some people here that say, you know, Rick, that I just can't do that. I've never memorized any scripture in my life. And maybe that's true. I find that hard to believe it's true. But it might be. But you know, there is some scripture that a lot of us pray maybe on a regular basis that is scriptural. And that is the Lord's Prayer. You know, a lot of people like think, well, somebody just made that up. Well, somebody did make it up. It was Jesus. So if you want to start in an easy place and you don't know the Lord's Prayer, start there. Go to Matthew, look up where Jesus was talking, teaching the disciples to pray. You know, as we mature more and more as Christians, we should be memorizing more and more scripture. And I hope that you will memorize more scripture. So I hope this was meaningful to you today. And my prayer for all of you is that you'll find some scripture find some pieces of God's word that are meaningful to you and that kind of will provide hope and wisdom and strength to your marriage, to your family, to your church, and to your neighborhood. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. It is awesome to be able to see how your word that was written 2,000 years ago can be applied to my life today. And as I seek this scripture more and more, Lord, I just hope there comes a time when, man, there's so many scriptures I want to pray every day that it takes me all day to pray them. Not that I want to spend all my time doing that, but even while I'm working, I can be praying scripture for people who are important in my life, and I pray that for people here too. Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for this beautiful day that you have created. And it's in your Son Jesus' name we claim victory. Amen.